Good morning, everybody. Just one notice from me. The notice sheet that you were emailed or is in the back is your notices until September, so don't throw them away. Next week, everything kind of stops for the summer, so it's the last building blocks and the last warm welcome space until September. I think prayer meeting, Maxine, looking at you, is continuing through the summer, but they will be using the room out the back. My only other notice is that from the week of the 31st of July, under no circumstances can anybody enter this part of the building for the week, because the Wednesday team are staining the floor and they won't be very happy if you walk on it before it dries, and it takes quite a long time to dry. So from Monday the 31st of July, under no circumstances can you come through these doors. Okay, thank you. I'm going to pass you over to Peter as he leads our worship this morning. Thank you.
Any footprints that Annalisa finds, she will she'll back in with us. She'll looking around, lift your foot up. It's good to be here this morning. When I booked the service here this morning some months ago, I thought I could be able to test out your air conditioning, because I thought it'd be nice and hot today, and I'd come in here and have a really cool service. But it's cool without the air conditioning, unless it's working for a whole of Desborough now. And my daughter sends her apologies, because she bought some lovely summer furniture about 4 weeks ago, and she's never had a chance to sit on it. And she thinks it's her fault that the summer has changed. But it was St. Swithin's Day last week, wasn't it? And when St. Swithin's Day, remember, he was buried and they dug him up, and it rained so much when they dug him up they couldn't find him, and they kept slipping his body out, and then they had to go and bury him in Bury St. Edmunds, I think. And it rained all day and for 40 days. And they always say St. Swithin's Day will herald 40 days of rain. So we're stuck till September now. So I hope the kids haven't got depressed all of a sudden. Right, it's good to be here. I'm going to use Psalm 40 as a beginning. It goes like this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of a slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. We're going to sing a couple of songs as we indeed have a hymn of praise to our God. We begin with Praises Rising.
Praises Rising. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Pray, and then we're going to sing again. Let's just pray. Lord, you are very great. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you've set in its place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? Lord, you are a great and powerful God, and you are also our Father, and the one who cares with a daily, intimate knowledge of our lives and our circumstances. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you've taken the initiative. Even though we were facing in the wrong direction, even though our lives were cold and unresponsive to you, you have met us more than halfway, and you have called us home. And we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful privilege. And this morning, Lord, as we look at our lives and what you've done for us in Jesus Christ, the way he lived and died and gave himself for us, we look at our lives and we recognize, even now, we are sinful people. We disappoint ourselves, we fall and fail, and just don't seem to be able to do those things. As the apostle said, the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And the things that he feels are wrong and doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing them. Lord, this is us on a number of occasions. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you would hear us as we seek to turn again from our sins, as we repent, and as we ask that you would come and dwell in our hearts by your Spirit. Forgive us, we pray, and fill us with your Spirit so that we are able, as King David said, to show others and teach others and share with others the good news of the forgiveness of God and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So bless us, we pray. Move amongst us this morning, we ask. Speak to each of us. Do not leave any of us out, because we ask these prayers in the powerful name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now we're going to sing Teach Me to Dance. Have you been to one of those barn dances? Do you do barn dances? And you know, you go to those places, and I usually go for the food, but I'll be honest with you, I do, because you get a decent bit of food at a barn dance, and you can keep going. You can keep going up, or when you dance past the table, you can pick up a sausage roll and no one notices. But you know, the thing about dancing is, You've got to actually make a decision. Someone comes to you and says, will you come and dance? And you've got to decide yes or no. And so many people sit out, don't they, these days? And I just think this morning, we've come to dance with the Lord. God invites us to dance. And life is a dance. And I like to think as we sing this, we can recognise or ask ourselves the question, are we dancing? Are we partnering God? It's a good answer. It's a good answer, Sheila. And that's what we need to do, isn't it? Partner God. Let him, you know, the number of times I've done a funeral, it's a sad thing to go to funerals, but and you start off the eulogy, she went to a dance and she met Norman or whoever, and her life changed, you know? She had three kids and everything changed after that dance. And I hope to think this morning as we come to meet with Jesus, life changes. So we stand to sing, Teach Me to Dance.
Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with a heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life, created heaven and earth. In you is joy without measure. So like a child in your sight, I dance to see your delight. For I was made for your pleasure. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with a heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Express a heart that loves to say yes, a will that needs to obey. Let all my energy blaze to see the joy in your face with my hope being praise. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of the Spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
It's a good hymn, isn't it? It's a good song. You can't keep your legs still. It's a bit like singing Bring Me Sunshine. You can't help but run out the room, sort of like Eric and Ernie. Now, there's an asteroid. You may not know this. I guess in Anglican Church, and they play the bells before the service, and then when the service starts, they all come down the choir stalls and go home. I find it quite amusing, really. They call everybody else to worship, then they go home and have a cup of coffee. But anyway, that's Anglicans for you. You'd think Methodists have bells as well, wouldn't you? Let's be kind this morning to others. There's an asteroid out there, and they're thinking how they can bring it home, bring it back to Earth, because it's got so many rare metals on board. If they brought it down to the Earth, every single person in the world would become a billionaire. That's what they say. There's so many rich gold and lithium and all these metals that we're so desperate to get hold of. I mean, they don't think about the fact that if everybody had all those metals, then the metals wouldn't be worth anything and we wouldn't be billionaires. They don't think about that. It's like when they say inflation's only 7%, therefore prices are going down. They don't understand, do they? Prices are just going up less fast. And these are economists who say that. You know, it worries me, really. It does worry me. So this asteroid's out there. It's got horrendous value, and people are considering how to get hold of it and how to harvest it. Do you remember when King Charles was crowned a few weeks ago, and they put a rather large crown on his head, a crown that they say is worth £5 billion. Now, you can't imagine what £5 billion is like, but it's enough money to pay everybody's council tax in the former borough of Kettering for 300 years. Okay? I used to work for the councils. That's the sort of thing that I can understand. So every single person in the old borough of Kettering, that's Desborough, Rothwell, Kettering, Bert Latimer, you know, the three ugly sisters, as we used to call them. Because if one had something, the other one wanted it. So you couldn't let them have Christmas decorations because they all wanted them. So they had to sort themselves out. But, you know, it's an interesting situation that sort of value of money was on his head. And he was sitting there and he had clothes with jewels on worth £1 billion as well. That's £6 billion. And the Archbishop came over to him and handed him the Bible, didn't he? And said, this Bible, this book, is worth more than anything else in the world. And to see that next to the crown was just a reminder, wasn't it, to the whole world, the value of God's book. So many of us have these books, and so many don't read them. Is it the average Christian family's got 11 Bibles in the house? It's a lot, isn't it? We ought to read it 11 times more than other people, haven't we? But it's interesting. The value, and of course the value is that you can read this book and you can live forever. That's the secret, isn't it? You can read this book, you can be introduced to Jesus Christ, you can make your commitments to him, you can trust in him by faith that his sacrifice on the cross is sufficient for our sin, and you can gain, by your faith in him, eternal life. Something that the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, is trying to get by extending his life to 150. Because he suddenly realises he's running out of time at 56. I know most of you here think that's a chicken. But nevertheless, he's worried that he's not going to spend all his money in time before he dies. And we have the gift. And yet we squander this gift and we don't always appreciate it. This is a promise that the Creator of the heavens, a covenant, a contract he made with us. And our job is just to sign the bottom and to follow its rules by the power of the Spirit. So may God help us to truly be his disciples. May he help us to recognize the value, to see what's valuable in the world, to see what's of importance, and to follow those things. We're going to pray for others, and I know there's a number of things to pray for. Let's just pray for situations and circumstances. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe, Lord, when you said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We believe, Lord, when you told us that we should pray for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, that these are the things that you want to do, you desire to bring about your kingdom and your purposes. And we thank you, Lord, that we can partner you in prayers, that we can join with you in seeking to bless this world, or allowing you to bless this world through us. And we pray this morning, Lord, for those around us who have need. We seek to bring our friends to you and those that we know or perhaps don't know so well and give them into your hands and see a blessing upon their lives. We think of friends and family who need to know you, who need to love you, who just have no interest really in your things and your circumstances. Lord, we've all of us got somebody in our family or in our street who just does not know you and does not want to know you. And we just mention them in our hearts by name, that you would speak to their hearts and warm their lives with your love as you've warmed us. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with illness and poor health. Lord, there are many who struggle perhaps quietly and silently. We do think again, Lord, of people we know, friends, members of this church who need a blessing. We pray for better health. And we pray, Lord, that you would indeed support and strengthen those who are unwell, that you would bring help and healing and give a blessing to those who have to work with them as they take that journey to better days. We pray, Lord, for those who have been bereaved in recent days, and again, we know people who have lost loved ones, people who have suddenly got a gap in their lives which is difficult to fill, a gap which will stay and remain for a while. Lord, we pray your presence and your healing and your peace. You did promise for those who mourn that they would be blessed, and we pray, Lord, that you will indeed bless all who seek to find comfort and strength in you and their families at this time. We pray for this church, and we pray for the opportunities that you give us here, for the chance to use its building, to share together in worship, to pray, to teach youngsters and work with youngsters. Lord, we thank you for all that is done on these premises in your name. And we ask a continued blessing upon those who lead us, upon our minister and upon our deacons. Lord, bless Nick and be with him as he writes essays and prepares himself for the new season, the new term that starts in September. And for ourselves here, Lord, as deacons and church together, may we know your presence and your power and your purpose in these days. Lord, make it easy for us by helping us and strengthening us. And help us to trust, Lord, always in you. We thank you for all you give us, and we ask a blessing upon the days ahead. We pray, Lord, for our country. We think of our leaders. We think of those who have responsibility over us. We pray for our Prime Minister and for our King. Lord, for those who have to make decisions on our behalf, we pray for wisdom, and we pray for the ability to decide on behalf of others, and that self-interest and whatever else clouds the waters, that you would indeed enable just and fair decisions to be made. We pray for those who police our streets. We pray also for street pastors and for those who run food banks. Lord, there are many people who do their bit to see your kingdom come and your will done, to keep the peace and to enable your gospel to continue to be proclaimed. And we pray for Ukraine and Russia. I pray for Israel and the Palestinians. We pray for the war that continues in the Sudan and in the Horn of Africa. We think in so many situations where there is no water or no food, where there is searing temperatures. Lord, we can't imagine some of the situations people live in. And we pray, Lord, for your presence, and particularly for those who go out or seek to bring relief and help. We pray that they too will know strength and encouragement. We pray for the Baptist Missionary Society as they seek in various places of the world to be light and salt, to bring hope. Lord, we have other prayers in our hearts. We bring those that we've spoken to you. We bring those quiet and silent prayers in our hearts also to you, because we ask them all in the powerful name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, Jane's going to read to us. Jane was going to read to us last time I preached, but I forgot to ask her. And I was a bit worried today. I was going to forget to ask her to come forward. So Jane's going to speak to us, and then we're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty. Right, there we are, Jane.
The reading this morning is Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road.
I've taken my mother to the eye clinic in Kettering every day last week, and I've been thinking about blind Bartimaeus. Everyone sits there with their eyes covered up and what have you, so we're going to think about him this morning. But we're going to sing, first of all, King of Kings, Majesty, and Brian's going to play that on the organ. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. And somehow, Lord, we pray that we might want to dance with you this morning and always, because that is where the future lies for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember when Prince Charles said to the people on the underground, mind the gap? He said that coronation weekend, didn't he? He went on the underground and he was giving announcements out and he said, mind the gap. And I just thought this morning, as we've heard the King of England say, mind the gap, we might just consider the King of Kings who says to all of us, mind the gap between God and man, the gap that needs bridging, the distance that exists between us. Mind that gap and deal with it. Just deal with it somehow. Make sure that you've got some access to God through Jesus Christ. Don't let the gap widen and open up, as it were. You know, there was a time when I wished I could get in Doctor Who's time machine and go back to the Middle East and see Jesus in person. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Just jump in the TARDIS and go back. I'm probably not good enough looking now to get in the TARDIS, because they always have the best actors, don't they, in there. But, you know, to go back and to see Jesus for yourself would have been a really good thing to do. But, you know, I read this morning, actually, my Bible notes this morning took me to Luke chapter 13. And Jesus says, there's a narrow door. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter but not be able to do so. The owner of the house will get up and close the door, and you'll stand outside and knock and plead, sir, open the door for us. And you will say, we ate with you and we drank with you and you taught in our streets. And I just think to myself, you know, so many of us, we come to church. We meet our good Christian brothers and sisters. But so often we don't truly meet with Jesus. We don't transact the business, as it were. You can go into a bank foyer with your money to pay in, but unless you actually get to the front of the queue and hand the money over the counter, nothing happens to your account. You walk home with the money in your pocket. And the same is true this morning as we come to meet with Jesus. We've got to somehow make that contact to allow the way to be cleared, to recognise there's a gap. And my daughter-in-law, her dad, my son's father-in-law, got given an MBE a few weeks ago. And he had to go to the palace to receive it and then to a garden party a few days later. And they went, my daughter-in-law dressed up and her sister and her mum, and they all went down to the palace. And she showed us some lovely pictures of Prince William, or whatever he is. It is Prince William. I still call him Prince Charles as well. But I showed lovely pictures of Prince William and Kate. And it looked from the pictures as though they were next to each other. They were so close. They were really just one row of people in front of them. It looked like they were communicating and really catching up. And my daughter-in-law said to me, it looks like we were close, she says. But do you know what? The security was such, and they were managed in such a way that you never got anywhere near. You couldn't even speak. If you wanted to actually just say hello to Prince of Wales, Prince William, you'd have to have booked it in 3 days earlier by email. And then you'd sort of be managed to the front of the queue in a slow way. It's surprising how things are managed, isn't it? We don't realise, do we, how things are organised and ordered. We don't see the unseen hands. But, you know, it's the same with Jesus. He was walking through towns, it often says, doesn't it? He went to Jericho and he was passing through. And so many people see Jesus and know Jesus, but they don't actually meet Jesus. They don't actually have him talk to them on a one-to-one. And I think it's important this morning that we recognise it's not enough to be in church. It's not enough to know of Jesus. We need to be able to hear his words, to read his words. That's why this book's so precious. You can read his words. One of my Bibles, every word that Jesus speaks is in red. And I find that helpful sometimes. Not always, because I believe all the Bible is God's word. But the Ten Commandments are the one of the few passages in the Old Testament are a direct. God actually wrote the Ten Commandments on a bit of stone so that they'd be there for us. Have instructions for life. He wrote them down. The one thing that we can actually argue, if you want to throw all the rest of the Bible away, don't throw the Ten Commandments away, because God wrote them on a bit of stone. He did it twice because the first stone broke. That's the word of God to us, to hear these words and to be able to respond. Now, we can't respond to the Ten Commandments without God's Spirit and God's power and God's resources and the desire in our hearts to do so. It doesn't just happen. But this morning, we've got to watch that gap that exists between us and Jesus and always try and close the gap. To make sure we get closer. So that's why I read Psalm 40 this morning, because it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord stopped, and he turned, and he heard my cry. And that's what happened on the road to wherever, when Bartimaeus shouted, wasn't it? Bartimaeus cried out. Bartimaeus called out, and amongst all the clamour of the crowd, Jesus saw this one person, and he turned. And he looked. Remember that time when Peter denied Jesus three times? And there he was in a massive crowd of people. And there was hundreds of people, thousands of people probably there. And the cock crowed. And Jesus turned and looked. And on that occasion, it wasn't a look he wanted to experience. And so here we have Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus. And Jesus turning and looking. And wanting to answer. Remember on Pentecost Sunday we hear Peter says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the promise that God makes. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Bartimaeus calls on the name of the Lord. Despite the discouragement. Now let's be honest. The crowd shout out, shut up. You'd think the crowd would be a bit more gentle. They know Jesus heals. They know he cares for people. And you wouldn't think the crowd would say, just clear off. We want to Jesus for ourselves. But they do. And Bartimaeus is well discouraged. And I think it reminds us, does it not, that when we come to Jesus, when we seek to find Jesus ourselves, when we are following Jesus, we do find discouragements come. We must not be surprised. There are many things that just prevent us. How many times do you have an argument with someone just before church service starts? How many ministers tell me that they go into church to get ready for service and someone comes to them and gets hold of them and has a go at them? Brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not how we should behave. If you've got something to say to the minister or anybody else in the church, don't say it just before service. Wait till after. And if God still allows you to say it, then maybe then, but perhaps not. Bartimaeus found these sharp tongs that just prevented him from what he was discouraged, I suppose, but he didn't allow that discouragement because he believed in Jesus. Now, of course, Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus looking at him. Don't forget, he was blind. That was his problem. He didn't know that Jesus had noticed him. And yet, he carries on calling. And the crowd say, "Come on, then. He's calling for you." And he goes over. And Jesus speaks with him. What a wonderful picture, what a wonderful story it is that a man like Bartimaeus with such desperate need should be called forward and given this personal attention by Jesus. But you know, that's not just for him, that's for you and for me. We all of us have that right to call out to the Lord. Indeed, my question to you this morning is, what is it that's troubling you that you need particular attention over this morning? What is it that you need to ask God to help you with? Why is it we so often think we can sort it? We can manage this. I've done this before. I can do it. But that's not how we should live our Christian lives. We're called to trust in Jesus Christ and to call on his name and to involve him in every part of our lives, to give our days into his hands and to allow him to work and to move in his way, to bring about his purposes. I've written that bit about Esther this week when remember when they were going to try and get rid of the Jewish people in the country she was in, Babylon, and Mordecai comes up to her and says, "Look, you've been put here for a time such as this, and God can use you to save the Jewish people. But if you don't respond, he'll use somebody else. He will work his purposes. You have the chance to be part of his purposes, but you don't have to be. You can allow that privilege to go to somebody else." And we're here this morning, perhaps, as people who don't always realize our responsibilities and the opportunities God is giving us. But yet he's coming to us and calling to us, and we have a right to ask him for help. Maybe we do need some help in a particular area. Maybe we need a healing. Maybe we need a blessing. Maybe we need some sort of help in a particular problem we're facing. Maybe some paperwork needs sorting out. Maybe someone at the DVLA needs to get their finger out and write something back to us. You know, there's plenty of areas where we need help. And do you know, sometimes, rather than ring up and argue with somebody, it's okay just to pray and to give it into God's hands and see what he does. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and answered him, and put a new song in his mouth." You know, we, like Bartimaeus, are blind. We don't see things. We do see things. Well, as I've told you before, I can't even find the socks in my drawer, which are there. Well, I'm convinced my wife comes upstairs with them hidden behind her back. And then when she goes into the drawer, with a sleight of hand, she puts them there so that the things I was looking for suddenly appear. But you know, I can't even find a pair of socks sometimes, so how can I be trusted to see other things clearly? We are blind. We don't see things. We don't see ourselves as we are. We can always see the sins in others. The things that you get cross about in other people are usually the things that you're doing wrong. That's my experience in life. The things that you let go are things that you don't do yourself. So if you're getting cross with somebody about something, have a look to see if you're doing that. Because it's probably so that it's an issue that you need to deal with. But you know, we are blind, we are poor, and we are needy, and we need Jesus. We need him in our lives, we need him in our circumstances, we need to have him involved with us. Bartimaeus knew that he could not cure his eyesight. He'd no doubt been places, he'd no doubt been told before that it was no hope, there was no hope. He spent many, many years in this situation. And here he meets Jesus. And Jesus has the cheek, if you like, to say to him, "What do you want?" It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? So what do you want? You'd think Jesus would know. Well, Jesus does know, but Jesus always says to us, "What do you want?" He always says that. Because he wants to give you what you want. Remember Solomon, when he was told by God, "You can ask for whatever you like." And he didn't ask to win the lottery. He asked for wisdom. And God said, "That's a good choice. I'll give you everything else as well if you like, because that's a good choice." So God does give us the free will to determine what is important. And God loves it when we like things he likes. Remember, there's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents. How often do we pray for people to repent? How often do we seek to give people the chance to turn from their sins and turn from their ways? This is what God likes. This is God's heart. So often our prayers are very small, are they not? And very, very limited. And you know, someone gave you three wishes, then the temptation is to pray for three more wishes of the first one, isn't it? Rather than to actually start asking for things, because we want to save them up, don't we, for some better day when it might be possible to win something greater. So Bartimaeus, like us, is blind. Bartimaeus, like us, can't see clearly. Bartimaeus is struggling. Some of the Psalms say that, they say it, don't they? "My sins are so many, I can't see straight." And we are sinful people, and yet we've got to recognise the need to come to Jesus and for him to deal with our lives and circumstances. For this gap to be closed as Jesus comes towards us. And no doubt Jesus walked further than Bartimaeus that day towards that conversation which took place. If you've been to a railway station and you've got somebody in a wheelchair and you book the place on the train, then my experience is when you go downstairs and they say, "Mind the gap," and there's a massive gap between some railway platforms and trains. If you booked it in advance, then there is usually they will put a ramp out and you can take the wheelchair, you can see the door where the ramp is, and you can aim the wheelchair for that door and get the person on board. And that is how it works. That's how it is. The gap is covered by that ramp, by that bridge, by that gift that's given to you by British Rail, if they still call themselves that. And that's where we are. We know the situation, we know that we do it. You wouldn't foolishly go and struggle through another door, I hope. You'd see the ramp and you'd aim for it. You wouldn't say, "Oh, well, I can manage," and then get the person stuck between the train and the platform. You wouldn't do it, would you? You see the ramp and you head for it. Now, there is this gap, and we are all disabled by sin in this world. There is this gap between mankind and God. And God has given us a ramp, he's given us a bridge, he's given us the chance to have an easy access into his presence. He's given us Jesus. And you'd think you'd go through Jesus, and you'd think you'd head to him and allow him to work. But people don't. They try all manner of things. Must admit, my mother's in hospital at the moment, and I went down to see the chaplain to see about going to see her. And when I knocked the door, a Buddhist answered. I thought, "Oh, I'm not sure I want to cope with this." And I think to myself, it's all very well, but it's not what mother would want, to have some comfort given to her by a Buddhist. Now, I'm pleased to say there was a Christian chaplain turned up and we were able to deal with the situation. But you know, there are so many people who are persuading us to go through the wrong door. There are so many people who are denying this ramp, this easy access into God's presence. There are so many religions, there are so many non-religions, there are so many secular people who think you can get the real benefit. You know, how many programs on television about buy your house in the sun or escape to the country? I mean, I like watching these things, but it's not bringing... I mean, what 70-year-old buys a house with seven bedrooms and 17 acres of land... What person does that in their right mind, just that they've got a lot of money? I mean, I'm 68 and I couldn't cope with 17 acres and seven bedrooms. I struggled to clean three, you know? What sort of world do we live in when we think that is the answer to our lack, our missing? There's a gap in our lives between us and God. And you will not fill it by big houses, nice cars, fast yachts, good aeroplanes, or even good health. These things will not get you closer to God. It is purely trusting and relying and believing on Jesus Christ, allowing this gap to be covered by Jesus. But why do we try so many other doors? Why do we aim for some other places? Why do we think that only sissies use ramps into trains? We are disabled. We can't access the train without any help. We need that bridge. We need that rescue. And so this morning, I don't want to say much more, because I want you to start the dance. I want you to get going. I want you to read God's word and to believe it, to stand on it, to take verses. I mean, my mother's in a bit of a mess at the moment, and I find the best thing to do, rather than argue with doctors, is to read Psalm 145, to be honest. And it's the best way to do it, really. I mean, Psalm 145, it's a wonderful psalm. I mean, it's often used at funerals. I didn't tell mother that. Although I did tell her once that maybe Jack Warwick ought to come and sort her out rather than the doctor. But, I mean, it's so lovely, isn't it? The Lord is righteous in his ways. He's loving towards all he has made. He is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. They're lovely words, aren't they? This is what God does. This is the God who is loving towards all he has made. It starts off, I didn't read the first bit, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. There's not a promise in this Bible that God has made that he's not faithful to. You make promises to people and you keep them usually, don't you? God makes promises and he always keeps them. So look, this morning, let's recognise that there's a distance between us and God, and that distance is something we were born into. But God has provided the gap, a bridge over this gap. And as Psalm 40 says, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord answered. And it ends, Psalm 40 ends, I am poor and needy. Lord, think of me. Be my help, be my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. These are words that Bartimaeus could so easily have prayed. These are words that you and I can pray quite easily. To recognise our need, to recognise the difficulty, recognise the things that we cannot sort out. To know that God holds the future and he holds us in his hand. So we can learn from his word, we can take this word as precious as the Archbishop of Canterbury tells us it is, although I don't think he reads it, to be honest, but he does tell us it's important. I do honestly wonder whether he reads any of it, but he does say it's important, and let's believe that bit. And let's take the Bible and just, I would challenge you, get a promise out of it every day this week. Find a promise somewhere. And you know, if you've got to find a promise before you can start reading it, you'll find a promise pretty quickly, I can guarantee. Psalms are a good place, a good start, especially around about Psalm 30. Find a promise, stand on it, and watch God work. That's what the Jews did. You know, the Jews headed towards the Red Sea with 600,000 of them walking, old and young and whatever, all the sheep and the cattle and the chickens, and behind them was an army ready for battle. And God simply opened up the sea. He provided them. It's almost like walking into Sainsbury's when you prayed Psalm 145. The doors just open. Do you know? They do. You go to Sainsbury's. You haven't got to read the psalm before the doors open. Just walk into Sainsbury's and the doors open. They're magic. You read some psalms, you read some promises, and you'd be surprised what doors open, what gaps are closed, what blessings come. This is how we dance. This is how we dance. We live it out. And as I say, I even pray for car parking spaces. I do. Very important when you go to the hospital. Pray for car park space. Pray for them. Be surprised who you meet when you get out the car. I always find that. Pray for ordinary things. Pray as you go. Turn the radio off. They're rubbish on the radio. Just turn the radio off and pray. Ask God to lead you and guide you and bless you. Make sure that we are dancing with him. So I'm not going to say any more. Bartimaeus put away his discouragements and he asked Jesus for what he wanted. You ask him for what you want and you see the blessing that comes as he turns. And he listens and he responds to you. But don't ask for stupid things. My son wanted to ask for Ipswich to win 2-1. Don't ask for that. It's a waste of time, because even when they win, there's still the next match. Pray for those things that are important, and God will bless you and those you pray for. Amen. We're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." I thought it was a good opportunity just to put our faith into words. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Thank you, Brian. And so we pray, Lord, look upon us with favour and give us your peace. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit come and rest and remain with us, with those we love and those we shall love this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.